we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming in our friend, sportscaster, actor, author, Gary Tangway. Hello, Gary.
And what am I supposed to do? I mean, right now I just feel useless because you just mentioned all of these great qualifications of your guests. And I was just thinking, what do I offer? And then I realized Rich and I just kind of talk.
You bring it all. Like you're the hyphen. You are the multi-hyphenate with all of these different.
Yeah, I bring it all. I can't wait. McAdam, I'm going to have to check that out on Twitter when you put it up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Got to say about spring training. That should be really good.
Absolutely. Really good. Now this Downtown Madness competition. You're up. You're on the board in the opening round of the Boston bracket today, and the selection committee was tough this year. They picked some tough opening round matchups. It's you and Giardi in the first round.
Yeah, Giardi's going to win. Everybody loves Mike Giardi because he does a great job for the. I would vote for Mike Giardi. I would vote for Mike Giardi, and I never win these things. Giardi's great. He does a great job with the NFL Network. Mike Giardi will win. I'm just setting myself up for disappointment.
You never know. Surprises happen all the time. Well, let's see where to begin. Let's get to the important stuff right away. The audiobook is coming out, or is it out already, of The Arm and the Fall?
No, well, we had a technical issue.
No.
We had a technical issue. Yeah, I have an audio producer, and we're supposed to fix it tomorrow. There's one chapter. I had no idea how time-consuming it is to pick up to put together an audio book. And with Amazon, just and maybe some of your listeners have done it, the technical and all the modulation and all the stuff that I don't understand has to be just right. And the person who's putting it together had to tweak some stuff, and we just have one chapter left we have to put up. So hopefully tomorrow it's going to be ready to go.
Well, Kerry, you've put together audiobooks before, Kerry. You've done the editing. That's not an easy process.
It is not. And yeah, Gary's right. The technical specifications, you have to really adhere to what Amazon wants you to have in there, or they'll just boot it right back to you.
Well, that's what happened, Kerry. We got one big chapter, and kudos to you for doing it. Because, Rich, for those of you who have thought of doing an audiobook, I thought, okay, this is no big deal. I'll just read it, you know, and because I'm technically inept, somebody will edit it and put it together. It's a lot of work. Oh, my God. Kerry, good for you. There's a lot more to it than I realized.
It was enjoyable. I really like doing it. And,
oh, it's fun. It's fun, but it's a lot of work. Mm. It's a lot of work.
And also coming up soon, when might we see you in the new film based on the life of Whitney Houston?
I don't know when that's coming out. You know, I thought we filmed it in October, so I don't know if they just say 2022. So I don't know if that's going to be in the fall or if it's going to be in the summer. But I personally can't wait to see that because what a story. I mean, oh my God. I mean, Whitney Houston's life, and what a star, and what a career, and what a tragedy. So that should be really something to see.
And you play Bobby Brown, right? Is that no?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Clive Owen. No. Basically, I play Frank Gifford without them calling me Frank Gifford.
Oh, really? I like that.
Yeah, because Frank Gifford introduced her. Excuse me, Rich. I'm fighting my allergies. Frank Gifford introduced her to sing the national anthem in Miami. So we filmed it at Gillette in Foxborough, where I was basically in the ABC jacket and all that stuff. And I did the speech, you know, the flyover and all that, and then introduced her to sing the national anthem. And they made, through the wonders of technology, they made Foxborough in October, Miami in 19, whatever it was. I can't remember. 89 or whatever. I can't remember what year it was.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that. Let's see where to begin this afternoon. And let's start, because you've always watched this team very closely. Let's start with the Patriots in this very interesting offseason. Now, some good news today that they're bringing Trent Brown back, but there've been more departures than arrivals so far.
Yeah, they have. It's kind of weird, Rich, what's going on. You know, I think the big thing is the coaching staff, which seems to be really interesting to me. You know, where you have a guy, it's just a hybrid coaching staff as opposed to, okay, we're going to bring in one guy to take Josh McDaniels' place. I really thought they'd go with Billy O'Brien, but Bill feels, I guess, Billy O'Brien is just going to leave in a year or two, but so what? You know, to me, the big question mark is who, you know, who's Matt going to listen to? I guess he's going to listen to Bill. And I do believe that Bill Belichick knows as much about offense as defense. I mean, for some people will say, well, Bill can't coach a quarterback. Well, that's crazy. That's dumb. Of course he can. Of course he can. You know, he did it with Brady. He did it with Matt Castle for a season. So, you know, is Bill going to be the offensive coordinator, if you will? I know that they have sort of a committee of coaches on the offensive side of the ball, which I don't know how that's going to go. You know, I really don't. And the tough thing to swallow for Patriot fans is everybody's getting better. You know, the other teams are better. That's the thing. I mean, you know, Patriots aren't as good as Buffalo. They're just not. I mean, Kansas City, I mean, the Rams. I mean, the Patriots are on the second tier. They're on the second tier. And I don't know if I see it getting better with Bill. I don't know. I just don't see it. I think after this season, my gut feeling is after this season, Robert and Jonathan Kraft are going to have to make a decision of, are we just going to continue being on the second tier, or do we need to bring somebody in to get us back to be a true competitor for the top spot, you know? And because they don't look, I know Jonathan a little bit, and it's going to be his watch. And they only like rings. They're the Celtics of the 80s, you know, of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. They don't like second place. They don't like wild card. They don't like playoff appearances. They want rings in Foxborough. So, Rich, I think it's going to be really dicey in the offseason if the Patriots don't make a vast improvement and become a true contender. This could be it for Bill.
Were you at all really surprised by Brady's brief retirement?
No, not at all. Not at all. Look, Rich, you know as well as I do, because you've covered it. You're older than me. But you know as well as I do. Look, you could take all the pomp and circumstance. You could take all the you can take the magazine covers. You could take the supermodels. You could take the appearances on late night TV. You could take the TB12, the endorsements, all of that stuff. The UGG boots, right? He's a football player. And the example I use is Rick Pitino, who I think is still coaching at Iona, right? I believe.
I think
you know,
so. Yeah.
I remember when Rick Pitino took over as the head coach of the Boston Celtics, and I was on the sidewalk. When they announced him as the head coach of the Boston Celtics, I was working for Channel 4, and I followed him. My job was to follow Pitino from the Celtics headquarters on Causeway Street down over to the Garden, right? And I had a microphone. We were supposed to get Nat sound, and everything was live on TV. I mean, it was like the Pope was coming to town. We were all live, and we're firing questions at him. And then one of the things I heard him say to Stuart Lane, who was the chief marketing officer at the time, said, "Stuart, I really want to talk to you about the uniforms and the type of sneakers we're going to be using and so forth," because Pitino at the time wanted to be the next Pat Riley, because Pat Riley wrote that book, remember, about, you know, basically being a coach is like being a CEO.
Right.
And all of these coaches wanted to be something more than they're not. Rick is still coaching. I mean, Rick Pitino is one of the greatest college coaches ever, and he still did a great job with the Knicks. It didn't work out with the Celtics because I think he was too impatient and he was trying to do too many things. Rick Pitino is a phenomenal basketball coach. That's what he is. He's not a marketing guy. He's a basketball coach. And Tom Brady, he's not the husband of a super. I mean, he is the husband of a supermodel, but to his core, Rich, he's a football player. Rich Kimble, I know you taught. You're a radio guy. You're not doing the radio thing in the afternoon to get rich. You do it because you love it. Brady is a football player. That's it. Take all this other stuff, throw it out the window. He can't live, and he can still play. I mean, I've talked to so many guys who retired who said, "Oh, my God, if I could go back and play tomorrow, I'd do it in a minute." I mean, Mike Flynn, who played center for the Baltimore Ravens, You know, after he left, he said to me, I said, Mike, do you ever regret, you know, the head injuries and playing? He goes, you kidding me? Sunday at 170,000 screaming fans going out there? He goes, no way. He goes, absolutely not. He goes, I don't, you know. And that's the thing. Is I'm not surprised at all. And I think people that are surprised, is I think they're just overlooking it. Look, he and his wife, obviously, they're just like any other married couple. She wants him to retire. She wants him at home. He doesn't want to be at home. John Madden said it best, spending time with the family is greatly overrated. He did it for a year, and then he got in a broadcast booth. Brady's a football player. That's what he is. And he can still play. He's going to do it. It's as simple as that. I've just seen so many guys, personally, I've seen so many guys leave the game and just not know what to do with themselves. People have no idea. As fans, it's very easy for us to say, oh, just go and enjoy your life and sit back and go fishing. When you play 162 baseball games a year, when you go into training camp in August and, you know, hopefully you're done at the end of February or mid-February, and you have that clock, and then all of a sudden it's taken away from you, it is emotionally damaging. It is, and I've seen guys go into depression. That's why I got, you know, and I'm not saying Brady, well, Brady, I don't know. Brady, when it's really over for Brady, I think he's going to have a tough go. But that's what he does. It's just what he does. And I'm not surprised at all. And you know what? God bless him. Like people, like Felger and these guys, they were all like, oh my God, he should stay retired. No, he shouldn't. I mean, should Rich Kimble not do radio? Rich, you should do radio till you die. I mean, I have no idea. What's Hale doing? I mean, is Hale still on the radio?
He's doing a morning show every morning at 90.
Yes, and he should be.
Yes.
Because that's who he is.
Right.
I mean, Rich, you'll be doing radio for the same deal. You know, I mean, that's what he does. And there's no way that anybody should say that Tom Brady should not play football. Who cares? He quit. He changed his mind. Whatever. The NFL is better with him.
Yes.
The NFL is a better product with Tom Brady on the field. End of story. I'm glad he's back. I had a feeling he was coming back, and I think it's awesome. Sorry, I took up a lot of time.
No, that was great.
I'm very passionate about
that. That's why I asked you about it. Now, let me ask you one last thing. Despite your frustrations from time to time with Marcus Smart, man, the Celtics team is playing great. How far can they go in postseason?
Well, okay. Listen, he's done great. I mean, you have to give credit where credit is due. The kid has totally changed his game. He's turned it around. My frustration is with the media. Right now, they're playing to where they should be playing. They are the fourth best team, and I think they're knocking on the door of number three, or they're in the hunt with, you know, Milwaukee and Philly. Personally, I don't think they can beat Philly or Milwaukee in a seven-game series. I don't think they can. I don't think they can beat Harden and Embiid, and I just don't think they have. I think, you know, but the people that are all of a sudden saying that, oh, my God, they're going to go to the finals, I'm like, whoa, slow down. You know, I mean, if they get to the finals, it will be somebody else has to screw up, in my opinion. You know, I still think Embiid, you know, they don't have, I mean, Tatum's great. Don't get me wrong, but what's he going to do, score 50 every night? I know, like last night, he and Brown had 30 points each. They don't do that every night.
No.
If you're going to be a champion, you need to do it every night. Like when Bird averaged close to 30 a game. I mean, LeBron was like, Kobe, LeBron, all those guys are like 28, 30 a game. People are having, you know, rebound that they haven't been consistent enough. So people are confusing the fact that finally they are playing to their capability. They should beat Denver. They should beat Dallas, right? They should beat Golden State on occasion. Yeah, they should beat, you know, Phoenix in a regular season game. But are they going to beat them in a seven-game series? I don't know about that. But I think it's awesome. I mean, I think it's great. The media is the people that have been bugging me. Like, oh, they're going to get number, you know, they're going to get another banner. I'm like, hey. It's unfair of us to think that the Celtics should win a banner this year. I think they're a player away. I think they're a player away. Now, there's the big guy there, you know, Robert Williams. He's out. I think he's out tonight. But if he could play every night, he's hurt all the time, he would be the guy. But Yeah, I mean, Marcus Smart deserves all the credit in the world. That's the thing. Like, people on Twitter get on me, and I'm like, oh, Marcus Smart. I go, yeah, because he's playing well, you boneheads. Look, when he plays well, you give him credit. When he takes 10 threes, you scream at him.
There you go. It's the multi-talented Gary Tanguay sharing his thoughts with us.
I guess I had something to say.
See, there you go. After all, that's why we called you, Gary. We appreciate it. As always, my friend, good luck taking down Giardi. I can see the writing on the wall already there.
No, Mike's going to win. I'm voting for Mike.
All right. Well, either way, we hope to have you back and talk with you again real soon.
Anytime, buddy. I'll see you later.
Be well. See you, Gary.